a very simple argument, but a very good one, against those who might claim that the Old Testament is merely made up stories and fables. That argument would go something like this. Logically, if a person were to make up something, the story of the chosen people, if they were to make that up, they wouldn't include in it all the faults and failings of the chosen people. We see that all over the Old Testament. The Old Testament is filled with the times where the Israelites strayed from the path. Now, St. Paul, he's bringing this up for a very specific reason. He's bringing these things up. Some of these punishments that he's bringing up, sometimes to our mind, we see these punishments in the Old Testament and we think to ourselves, that's a very grave punishment. That doesn't seem like that bad of a thing that these people did. But this Sunday, this ninth Sunday after Pentecost, the whole overall theme is to get us focused on the gravity of sin. St. Paul, he mentions just a few of those events that happened in the Old Testament. Some of those would include some people in the Old Testament, they simply dropped dead. They committed this sin, they dropped dead. Another time, they were committing idolatry, and this one group under Kor, they rebelled against the Israelites, and the earth opened up and swallowed them. Obviously, we know the story of Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed by fire and brimstone from heaven, and we know the story of the poisonous snakes, that Moses lifted up the brazen serpent and saved the people from the poisonous snakes that were biting the people and killing them. So there's all these imagery-heavy examples in the Old Testament that show God was leading mankind to see, recognize, understand the gravity of sin, what that actually does in the spiritual sense, because you can't see the effects spiritually. We don't see that. We know that it exists, but we don't see it. So God had to show the people what that is. And so when St. Paul says that, brethren, now all these things happen to them, and they are written for our correction, upon whom the ends of the world are come. And he says, now these things were done in a figure of us. Now what does that mean? These things were done in a figure of us. What St. Paul is saying, he's drawing the analogy or the conclusion, the connection, between these Old Testament, the Old Testament of the people who are committing these sins, and his day. Now, who is St. Paul talking to? He's speaking to this epistle to the Corinthians. He's speaking, preaching to the Greeks. And if you know anything about the Greeks at this time, St. Paul, they were engrossed in paganism, very pagan and very attached to the sensible things of this world. The sins of the flesh were very prominent in other pagan cultures as well, but the Greeks especially, they idolized it. They loved it, everything about it. It was in art, it's in their philosophy, it's in their literature, everything. The Greeks had this connection to these things. So that's why St. Paul, he's drawing the connection that look at these events in the Old Testament, the sins that you're committing are no different. And the punishment, it will be equal, if not more so. And so now, it's as if St. Paul is speaking to us today, it is no different. Just because we hear the stories in the Old Testament, it is not as if those are just historical things that happened in the past and humans are completely different nowadays. It's not like that at all. We have the same, we're made up of the same stuff as those people in the Old Testament. And the sins that we're tempted with are the same sins that they were tempted with. So we have to reflect on those things. So St. Paul is getting, he's preparing us, he's getting our minds to reflect on the gravity of sin, trying to get us to visualize what that actually means. St. Augustine, in his book, you probably heard, The City of God, he confirms this point when he's talking about this epistle of St. Paul. St. Augustine says, they seem to make a great mistake who think that the things recorded in the Old Testament have no meaning beyond the events themselves. St. Augustine, he's drawing the same conclusion, that these things are connected. It's not as if it's just some set time frame and those events were just applicable to that time. It's not just for that time, it's for today as well. But that kind of begs the question, why don't we see people getting swallowed up in the earth today? Why don't we see whole cities, we think of the immorality in many of our cities here in the United States, and the paganism that's run rampant in our own country. Why don't we see these cities being destroyed by hellfire and brimstone? We don't see that. While we have to keep in mind that maybe those things are to come, at the same time, that it's in God's plan of divine providence that all things will be restored in their proper sense in God's due time. Divine providence has a set order and a set plan for when things are to be corrected and when divine justice will correct those things, when we don't know, but that will happen most definitely. And we'll see that in the gospel as well. More on the epistle, St. Paul, he continues trying to admonish the Corinthians, these Greeks, and he's trying to show them and tell them what things to avoid, the sins that you have to battle against, the temptations and all those things. So St. Paul, he's starting off very strong, and we hear that word lust. Immediately St. Paul says, do not lust after evil things. And immediately in our mind, when we hear that word lust, our mind obviously goes to one thing. Now, it is not just that thing. Lust can apply to many, many things. Obviously, that one, first and foremost, of course, that our mind goes to, but also the other things. The lusting after evil can mean many things. It could mean lusting after it could be money. It doesn't have to be impurity. Lusting could be after revenge. Lusting after getting even with our enemy. It could be lusting after desiring things that are beyond our means. Because lust, we think of what that is. It can be, and most commonly is, the passions, the passion, the bodily passions. It can be connected to these other things, the desire of other worldly things. And we know those things pull us away from God. St. Paul, he also says, do not become idolaters. And many times we think to ourselves, well, I don't have to worry about that. We don't see people worshiping idols very often. That's not something we have to worry about on a day-to-day basis. But in the other sense, it can be prevalent. And especially in our society, people idolize money, wealth, fame, easy, successful life. People idolize many things with regard to vanity. So that it can apply to other things, because all those other things take away from God. What is idolatry? Idolatry is replacing the due worship to God with an earthly thing. It's worshiping that earthly thing like a tree or a rock or an idol, worshiping that thing in the place of Almighty God. How many people worship all these other allurements, pleasure, fun, all these things more than they should be worshiping the true God? It replaces the true devotion that we should have to God. So that's that admonishment there. Do not become idolaters. When you think about the Greeks, if they would have had the technology that we have today, they would have embraced it full-heartedly. There's really no difference between our society today and the Greeks, other than the fact that we're a little bit more, you could say, technologically advanced than they were at that time. But the passions, the human passions and emotions and the temptations, it's all the same thing. But you can imagine how much the Greeks would have embraced social media, the internet, the vanity connected with all those things, advertisements. The Greeks were all about show and fanciness and all these outward expressions. If they would have had access to those things, society would have looked just like it does today. So we have to reflect on those things, reflect on those temptations, and put them in their proper place, not allow them to take away from our love of Almighty God. And that's another quote from St. Augustine. St. Augustine, he always sums up everything so well, and he says this, not only he does wrong who adores false gods, but he also who obeys his passions and inclinations more than God. So his passions, the person who follows their passions, just like a reed shaken in the wind, goes wherever their passions lead them, and they're just a slave to their passion. Obviously, we have free will, but the person who just consents and just goes wherever that passion goes, That's what we're talking about. We have to fight against it. St. Paul, he also mentions, obviously, not to commit fornication. We obviously know what that means, but also included that would be any sins committed against the sixth and ninth commandment with regard to the heart. Anything internal. It's not just outwardly and physically. It can also be in the heart, in the desire. So we have to keep in check our thoughts, our glances, our looks, and keep those things in check, because those are so connected in our passions with our desire. It's hard to see something nice and then not go, I want that. So we have to guard both things. You have to do both in order to guard yourself. St. Paul, he also mentions tempting and murmuring against our neighbor, or tempting and murmuring against God. And so we know if a difficulty happens in our life, to take that as our cross, to mortify ourselves, and to do penance for our past sins, not to murmur against God as if he's only sending us evil because he wants us. No, he wants us to just suffer. It's not about that. It's probably we're doing penance, we're doing our purgatory time by enduring that thing right now. So we have to reflect on that when those opportunities come, to truly embrace them and not push them aside and not murmur against God for allowing these things to happen in our life. And we reflect that when it comes to temptation, the whole overall theme that St. Paul is saying, he's saying, God is faithful, will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able to bear. So all those temptations, these things that we have to endure that he's speaking about to this epistle to the Corinthians, God gives the grace to overcome them. We have to cooperate with it. But the grace is there. God is ready and willing to help us. We just have to cooperate. And briefly touching upon the gospel for today, the gospel is the same theme. We're presented with the destruction of Jerusalem. So there's another real physical result of sin. In that case, the sin is the sin of deicide, that the Jews put Christ to death, and that the punishment for that would come in 70 AD with the Emperor Titus. And he would completely level, burn the city of Jerusalem, and the inhabitants would be killed, starved. They starved them for about a week, starved out the city, then burned it, then leveled everything to the ground. And that's a historical fact. You can read about that. But it's fascinating that here is our Lord walking among with the apostles during his life and saying, you see everything that you can see before you, it will all be dust in the ground. It will be destroyed. And they looked at him and they couldn't believe what he said. But it's the result of sin. That is the punishment that is due, obviously, to the sin of deicide, putting our Lord to death. That was the punishment for that. But the sins that we commit, there is a punishment connected to that. We also think our Lord, we see justified anger in when he drove out the money changers, that the money changers buying and selling in the temple, and our Lord, he used his passions. Now, remember, passions are not bad in themselves. The fact that our Lord used the passion that we have of anger, he used it in a just way. He used it to drive them out, to show them this is wrong. This is against God's law, and I have to remove you from this. It's the will of God, and he's there doing it to remove these people. And so we see that using our passions correctly, That is the way in which you actually combat the incorrect use. It's not just like a restrictive thing. You have to use it properly, and that gives you the fortification against the improper use. So our Lord gives us that example today in just one of the passions, using anger properly. It can be applied to all the others as well. So on this ninth Sunday after Pentecost, let us grasp the overall theme of both the epistle and gospel, the fact of recognizing the true debt, the punishment that is attached to sin, and let us not forget that, not become lax with regard to sin, forming bad habits of sin, and let us also reflect on using our passions according to the way in which God designed them. Using them to combat evil, using them for good, that will protect us. And reflecting on the fact that whenever we're tempted, God is there to help us. So I'll leave you with these words that sums up this Sunday very well, these words from St. Paul in his epistle to the Corinthians today. God is faithful and will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able to bear. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.